Thanks, Mark. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to be tonight. We're actually going to be here and Matthew chapter 22 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm not all those things that Mark said I am. I'm really not. To be honest, I mean, those are nice things to say, obviously. But honestly, if, you know, and I would speak, you know, for many of you guys in here, I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God, all right? And God, in his mercy and in his grace, reached down July 6, 1999, and he pulled me out of a miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. He allowed me to see the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, as infinitely valuable, infinitely beautiful, and he allowed me to embrace it and receive forgiveness of my sins. That's what I am. All right, and that's what a lot of you are. And some of you, you're not quite there yet, and that's okay. All right, but that's who I am, and that's why I'm here. To spread a passion for God's glory by leading people, leading others into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those who don't know God, leading them into a relationship where they do know God, and they know that they have eternal life, and they know that they have their sins forgiven. I do bring you greetings from Lakeside Fellowship, the church plant in Polk City, Iowa. Again, thank you guys so much for your support, for your prayers, for all of you, everything that you guys have done. A lot of you, you're like, but I haven't done anything. You're like, no, the church has done a ton for Lakeside Fellowship, and we thank God for you. I know Pastor Dave thanks the Lord for you guys, and the work continues on, and sometimes it's a hard work, but it's a good work, and we praise God for what he's doing there. And so I bring you greetings from Lakeside. And also, I'm not even a pastor, but I'm going to give an announcement. Greg Pollock, his college group is meeting for their meal afterwards, so if you are going to participate in that, don't forget to go back there and have your meal afterwards. Before we get into the Word of God, let's close our eyes here and have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your grace to us. Thank you so much for what you have done for us. And God, I pray, Lord, that the sacrifice of praise tonight would be from the heart. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my strength and my redeemer. And God, I pray that you would do a great thing tonight. God, help us not to play church. Help us not to be putting in our time. But God, may we come to meet with you, and I pray that your word would be very clear, and I pray that you would meet with us. Thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that we have in him. Thank you that we can be in Christ tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the abundant joy and blessings that come with being saved. Thank you. God, please meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about motivations tonight, and I'm going to ask a question to start. How many of you have ever stopped to think why you do some of the things you do? How many of you have ever stopped just to think, or you're going through your day and you just stop and you're like, why am I doing this right now? You know, have you just stop yourself and you're like, this does not make any sense. Why am I here? Why am I doing this action? Why am I in this position that I'm in right now? Sometimes we don't even think, all right, you know, what we do, why we do what we do. And you're probably thinking, Josh, that's a silly question. Of course I know why I do the things I do. Really? We're going to do a little quiz tonight, okay? When you came to church tonight, did you park basically in the same area that you always park? Some of you guys are smiling. All right, when you hung up your coat, did you hang your coat in the normal spot that you always hang your coat? When you found your seat tonight, do you sit normally in the same spot that you always sit in? And some of you are like, not tonight because Sister Sally's sitting in my seat. Okay, how many of you guys went to Sunday school? Can I raise your hands? Okay, wow, all right. Did you just go to class and you probably sat in the same spot you always sit in, right? Or very close to the same spot that you always sit in? All right? You use the same Bible every week. You listen to the same teacher every week. And a lot of these things that you did, even tonight, I mean, that's just in the last 2 hours. You've done things that you just normally do, right? You just do these things. And we're going to talk about, you know, sometimes in our lives we do things. We do ministry sometimes. I'm not going to ask for raise of hands for teachers tonight. You're not going to be on the quiz tonight. But I know sometimes as I've stepped up to teach or to preach or to do these things, you just step up and you just do them because it's what you normally do. Right? And you just do your ministry and you get it done and you go home. Or you come to church tonight, you listen to some young guy who looks like he's a teenager preach to you. All right? And then you go home. And you continue on with your life. And that was a lot of those same symptoms were happening in the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had gifts. They had talents. They had amazing teaching abilities. They had incredible gifts in their church. And yet Paul comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he goes into those first three verses, and he says, "Why are you doing these things? Why are you, Corinthians, why are you gathering together? Why?" And he picks it up in chapter 13, verse 3. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I did not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing." And what we're going to be talking about tonight, because I'm going to just talk on a real, you know, personal level to you guys, from a church planner's heart, from a young guy who wants to go out and plant a church, I'm going to talk to you about what God has been teaching me lately. God wants you to know why you do what you do. And more specifically, God wants you to know why you serve Him. Why you show up to church. God wants you to know why. He wants you to have that answer. And as you look at Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, if I look at verse 1, I say, man, I can have some incredible oratory skills. I could be the best teacher in the history of the church. But if I do not have love, and very specifically in this context, he's talking about love for others. If I do not have love for others, if I do not have a passion for the people that I talk to, and if I don't have a love, a deep-seated concern for them, it profits me not. I sound like a gong or a cymbal. And then he goes on in verse 2, and he says, "If I have gifts of prophecy and understanding, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge." So basically, I look at verse 2, and I say, man, you could have some incredible talents. And I look around at a crowd this big. There's some incredible financial, physical, physically talented people here. I mean, there's probably some of the most, you're way more talented than I am. I mean, some very, very talented people in this room. But Paul says, I don't care about your talent. If you do not have love, it profits you, or I am nothing. If you don't have a love and a passion for other people, zero. That's what you get at the end of the day. You get the pat on the back from the person in your class or from your boss. That's what you get. And that's it. You can go home. And I look at verse 3. He says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing." And I look at those two things and I'm like, give me a break, Paul. What are you saying? Give all my goods to feed the poor and have my body to be burned? I mean, those are sacrificial things. If we saw somebody do that, we'd be like, man, they really love Christ. They really love God. They're giving up a lot of stuff. And Paul says, no. Paul says, no. If I do not have love, it profits me nothing. So in this context, the Corinthians lacked love for other people. Because Paul goes on to say, love suffers long, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not parade itself, it is not puffed up. He goes on to list all of these things that love for others is. It's what love looks like in human form. And I ask myself the question, is that all I have to do, just love other people? Is that the end for which God made me? If I just love others and give myself to others, is that the end? And I think the answer is no, because if you simply take on the role of Mother Teresa, all right, and you just start giving your life to other people, and you never love God, and you never treasure Christ, and you never treasure the cross, what does that lead to? Leads to legalism, right? It leads to this sense in which I'm working, I'm doing things for others because I'm meriting some sort of favor with God. He somehow looks at me with more approval than he would otherwise because I'm giving myself, I'm loving other people. All right, so it leads to a path, the path leads to an end in which, again, I don't know if that is exactly what we're talking about here. And what I want to show you tonight, and this is where everybody needs to turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, if you have your Bibles, is that I think God wants you, and he wants me especially, to embrace one thing. And that is love for him, which leads and overflows and spills out into love for others. Matthew 22. Verses 37 through 40. In verse 34, 35, and 36, the Pharisees come up and a lawyer asks him, says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Sum up 613 commandments into one. Have fun with that. Answer that one." And Jesus said in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Jesus puts them in an order. Jesus responds in an order. It's very interesting to see that. He doesn't just say, give yourself in love to others first. He starts with a very important premise. He starts with keeping the first things first. He says, love God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I ask the question when I read that, I don't know about you guys, but I ask the question, what does that mean? I don't get that. What does that mean? What does that look like? All right, and as you love God, all right, obviously loving the Word is important. All right, absolutely essential. But when love for God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, you have to love God's plan for redemption, mainly found in the person of Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus is saying you must love God. And if you love God, it means you will love me. And if you love me, you will love the cross. And if you love the cross, you will love the blood that I shed for you. You will love redemption. You will love your salvation. You will love this. You will love the fact that you are messed up as a sinner. You will love the fact that God reached down and found you and saved you. You will begin to love this. And the question is, for me and for you tonight, is that what you love preeminently? To love God is to love the cross. And to love God is to love the gospel. To love God is to love the message of Jesus Christ himself and Paul and all of the apostles to say, Jesus died for my sins. Does that get you excited? When you think about that sentence, Jesus died for my sins, does that get you going inside? It should. All right, if you're a believer here tonight, it should get you pumped. Because you don't deserve it. You deserve the wrath of God. And God, through the wrath-removing sacrifice of Jesus Christ, saved you. All right, so to love God is to be blown away by the beauty of perfect God on the cross, absorbing the wrath that I deserve. And that message has to take effect in me before I can reach out the way I should, before I can knock on a door. Before I can knock on the door of an unbeliever and try and lead them to Christ, I must have my motivation square. I must have my love for God as the number one ruling affection in my heart. Because if I do not, the tendency in the human heart is to turn even the greatest things, such as leading somebody to Christ, such as reaching out to somebody, into idolatry. Look at me. Look how good of an evangelist I am. Look how many people I have brought to church. All right? Look how big this church is. All right? You understand that? If love for God is not in its preeminent place, Jesus said, we're in trouble. It's a scary place to be. So Jesus said in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. All right, so the second is not far off from it. The second is really very, very, very almost simultaneous. And he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So am I saying, this is where I want to clarify myself. I'm not saying love for others is bad. Love for others is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful to see the church of Christ reaching out and loving one another and loving unbelievers. It's a beautiful thing. But Jesus said the first and great commandment is to love God first. And then as you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will begin to overflow into love for others. You will begin to spill out in love for other people. You must become rich towards God. So, anyways, I was reading this text this week. I was reading 1 Corinthians 13, I was reading Matthew 22. And I was thinking about church planting. And I was thinking about, man, God, this is a big, big project. This is a huge thing. I'm not sufficient for these things. And God's like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, okay, good. Good. You know, you get it. Have you ever gotten yourself in the situation where you're just like, man, Lord, this is way too big for me. I can't do this. And God's like, yeah, you can't. That's great. And you're like, okay. You know, and you just relieve yourself in the fact that the gospel, you know, that God is going to get you through your situation. All right. Well, I was thinking, I was studying downstairs in my basement, and I'm thinking through all of these things. And I said, why do I want to plant a church? Good question. Why does Josh Daggett want to plant a church in 2008? And I began to list all of the things. I just began a list. I started writing down stuff. Started writing down, you know, all of these different reasons. I probably had 12 different reasons on the sheet. You know, all of these, you know, all of these administrative things, all of these demographic things, all of these, you know, potential awesome things that are going to happen. And I wrote all of these things down. And I read, I came to that point in your life, you know, where you just come to these crossroads in your life. And I'm like, God, none of these is love for you. Not one. And I took my pen and I began to just cross them out one by one. And I crossed out every single one. And at the top of my sheet, I wrote, love for God. And the reason that I tell you that is because this has been a very purifying process for me. I mean, planning a church and getting ready for all this stuff and being a pastor and all these different things. Because God cares more about why than he does about what. Okay? In your life, whatever you're going through right now, obviously, you know, we're not all in the same positions. You guys have, you know, all these different types of jobs and occupations and your careers and all of these different things. And I want you to understand, as a worshiper of God, as a lover of Jesus Christ, you have to understand that God is more concerned about the why in your life than the what in your life. God is more concerned about why you are doing the things that you are doing than he is concerned about the what. He's concerned about the what, but not in front of the why. And God really spoke to me. I mean, I just broke down in tears. I'm just like, God, how quickly idols come. Even good idols. Idols that I think are good things. How quickly they come. So my question for you, and that's the main thing that I wanted to communicate tonight, so I want to ask you a question. You go home tonight, think this through. Why do you do the things that you do? Is it love for God that motivates you to do all of your things, church-wise, you know, at home, in your home life, family life, social life, work life? Why do you do the things you do? And that will be one of the main questions, like for those of you who are interested in the church plant, and I know there's lots of you out there who have talked to me and are interested in the church plant, the main question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you to write it out, why do you want to be a part of the church plant? I want to know. And more importantly than me, God wants to know. God wants to know what you want, why you want to do the things you do. So take that as a challenge tonight, all right? Take that as a challenge from the Word of God. Look at Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and say, God, is this my passion? Is this my one passion, to know you, to love you supremely like I should? And I want to let you know before I close in prayer that, because I know several of you are asking about updates in regards to the planning and everything like that. I want you to know that the planning is going very well. I'm not sure when we're going to present and do all those things and present the location and all that stuff. We are targeting the southeast side, Easter Lake area. There will be a presentation further. If you want to talk further about the church plant or whatever, if you're interested, curious, you're praying for it, feel free to call me or talk to me at any time. But the planning is going well. We're very excited to share in the future time with more detail for you, and so that you guys could be praying and thinking more along that line. Basically, what I just preached tonight, that's what I'm looking for. I am looking for individuals who have a deep-seated, burning passion for God. That's what I want. I mean, that is the desire of my heart. All right? And I want to be that type of leader for the church plant. It's to be someone who is so sold out for God that it's very evident to the people that we reach out to and the people that we work with. And so if you guys would just continue to pray for Easter Lake, pray for the people there, all right? And just continue to pray. Bring these things before God as you think of them, as God brings them to your heart. It was a pleasure to preach to you. Why do you do the things that you do? Let's close in a word of prayer.